Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis, like the man said. Hey, talking to Rodney Asher, the director of The Nightmare, Room 237, a few other ones as well, and talking about sleep paralysis, which it's all about. And that's where now we're going to be taking your phone calls. So get them in. Those of you that have emailed me, pick up that phone and give us a call. Take a look at the coasttocoastam.com website, and you can see all the information that we have in there on tonight's show and different pictures that were drawn in there by those that are in the film and what they see at night when they're stuck in that sleep paralysis. And, of course, all sorts of other information in there. So stick around. Your phone calls next year with Rodney Asher and myself, Connie Willis, on Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM. We are back. We are taking your questions here with Rodney Asher, the director of The Nightmare, all about sleep paralysis. Hey, Rodney, I've got, I guess you've heard all sorts of stories, but here's a way that I'd like to describe sleep paralysis. You gave your way, right? So, and it's kind of, and you're with me, right? You're still there?
No, I'm here.
Okay. What I can say of it is, it, and I think it was like an old Twilight Zone show where I think that's what it was. It could any it has to be Twilight Zone, but someone was basically going under surgery and they could feel the pain, but they couldn't move. They couldn't tell anybody about it. And it's kind of like that. Or even the shows where someone's in a coffin and they're alive, but they can't get anybody's attention to get them out of there, you know. They're stuck.
Yeah, and there's a great Italian film called The Short Night of Glass Dolls, where a reporter has been poisoned and he's fully conscious but can't move as they wheel him to the hospital and prepare to do an autopsy on him.
Oh, that's it. You're aware, like you said before, you're aware of everything around you, but you can't, and it's usually something scary around you, but you can't run, you can't scream, you can't do anything.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we can talk a little bit more about it if you like, but,
sure.
You know, so a lot of people, you know, and it's interesting because there's sort of a half dozen symptoms. And, you know, usually you get it, different people have, you know, these three or these four, you know, not usually all of them, but often you feel sort of a electric kind of tingling going through you. And that was something that was a surprise to me because I hadn't experienced it. So it was something I learned in talking with the people in the film.
Mm-hmm.
There's often an awareness. Sometimes there's just a general awareness that there is somebody or something in the room with you. Other times people see it, you know, and they'll see shadow people. They'll see, often there's a variety of shadow people who, you know, one wearing a hat called the Hat Man. People see the old hag, you know, sort of a creepy old woman or insects. You know, often they can't move. There's a panic, and sometimes it even leads to out-of-body experiences, which was completely new to me, which I was completely surprised to find, you know, from a few people talking about the relationship between SP and out-of-body experiences.
SP, I like that, SP. I haven't called it that. Well, and that's one of the things I've heard with a lot of people with out-of-body experiences and astral projection. They're like, okay, when you're learning it, when it happens, you're going to feel this tingling and you're going to hear this like electrical sound and there's going to be that staticky thing going on. So it was interesting to see that in the film, and some of these people say that as well. And I like the way you showed the nerves kind of, or that electrical nerve thing that you had going on, kind of like either in the brain or in the body, that was seemed to really nail it, I thought, visually. Which, by the way, the visual and the audio, when I was watching your film, I had it in the earbuds because I'm watching it from my I don't know, whenever I watch films on the computer, it's always low. The sound's too low. So I put my earbuds in, and I was just, you know, you have the audio going, you've got everything happening. It came alive, and I appreciate that in a film.
The guy did the sound, Jonathan Snipes, is an amazing Fantastic. Guy. He did the music for Room 237, him and his partner, Bill Hudson. But he did the music, not just the music for The Nightmare, but he also did all the sound effects and mixed the film. So the music, the sound effects, the voices were all completely married into the same, you know, sort of sonic environment. You know, and if you're listening in a good theater or on, you know, headphones or like in a good sound system, there's some very high, you know, electrical kind of zapping noises and super low bass stuff. He just did an amazing job creating, you know, an atmosphere that you could really feel.
Oh, yeah. It made it, it all just came to life of what the people were saying. And that's where you could get, that's where you felt the emotion too with them of that was scary. And just, it really is a scary film. And what was your biggest surprise in making The Nightmare?
Well, the out-of-body experience was a huge surprise to me. I had no idea that that was related to, you know, to sleep paralysis in a way. I thought it was a completely separate phenomenon. And the tingling was something I had no experience with. And then there was, you know, a woman whose experience went from, you know, sort of seeing something that was kind of like the Grim Reaper to ultimately a positive one, you know, that was like, That was the ghost of her mom. Although at the end of it, she had a little bit of doubt of, you know, whether that was really who she was seeing, or whether it was something, you know, that just kind of looked like it. You know, I was surprised how common it is. You know, how many people go through it and don't talk about it, and you know, some of the unusual ways that it manifests. For me, it was a big surprise. It had a real strong relation to like consumer electronics. I mean, people talk about seeing, like Forrest talked about seeing these creatures that were covered with static, like television static. But but then televisions and phones and things started to feature into people's experiences too, which was a big surprise to me. I thought that was just from, you know, the movie Poltergeist. The Ring.
Right. I was, yeah. I thought, wow, did, you know, if you would have added that without him saying that, that's what people would have went, oh, he just, you know, stole that from Poltergeist. But he said that, and you brought that in, and that was interesting, because then you went, oh, did they know about that before? And I knew one of the writers of Poltergeist, Mark Victor, so I'm going to have to ask him about that, by the way. Let's go to the phones, because we have a lot of people wanting to talk with you. East of the Rockies, John in Ohio. John, I'd like for you to meet Rodney. How are you tonight, and Happy New Year?
Okay. Hi, Connie. Hi, Rodney. Actually, that was the analogy that I drew about 3 hours ago. Was I think the movie's called Awake, where people that's in the operating room are not quite under the anesthesia.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, I read about that. Is this a documentary or a narrative film?
I think it's a just a movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So my question is, you know, if someone wanted to rid themselves of this sleep paralysis, has anyone ever considered hypnosis or hypnotic regression?
I haven't seen a lot of references to it. I mean, actually, I talked to a hypnotist, you know, when I was first researching the movie, mostly as a way to try to recall, you know, my memory as best I could. You know, certainly, you know, people have, you know, a lot of luck with hypnosis for getting over, you know, early traumas, and there's something to suggest, you know, that that this experience might be, you know, related to, you know, childhood traumas. So certainly a lot of people in the film, you know, had these really primal experiences as kids. You know, I would fall well short of saying that, you know, that hypnosis, you know, is a tried and true method, you know, for getting over it that works for everyone. And I think I've kind of come across, you know, again, if there's sort of a half dozen things that tend to cause it, you know, sometimes for some people, there's maybe a half dozen things that tend to help, you know, for others.
Mm-hmm. As far as the moon landing, mm-hmm. my grandfather worked with a gentleman at the welding bench. They worked in the area that repairs snow plows and keeps city equipment up. Man's name is Steve Armstrong. Neil Armstrong's dad.
Excellent.
So Steve claimed that they told Neil not to say what they saw on the moon. So when I weigh the two theories, you know, one being the hoax and the other being, well, they went there, but they were told not to say what they saw. You know, when you consider the risk of life, the amount of money that was spent to go to the moon, I'd rather have the hoax. I'd rather have the hoax.
Well, I mean, there's also that middle ground, you know, that, that, you know, I've heard, you know, a few times in which we really went, but the footage was faked to keep some things, you know, kind of secret.
Mm-hmm. But if they can't tell the truth, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Agree. I want to know the truth.
yeah, exactly. Can't somebody tell the truth?
Yeah, it's always nice to know where you stand in anything. That's how you make decisions properly, correct? And that's how you have that foundation of stone and rock.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, John. That was very nice. We got we're going to go over to west of the Rockies, Diana out of Hawaii. How are you, Diana? And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
I have a question. Do you think that, like, on the paranormal experience, poltergeist, sleep paralysis, and all these things are related to the UFO abductions?
Well, I've certainly heard, you know, people speculating that UFO abduction is related to sleep paralysis. You know, in some ways, the experiences seem, you know, kind of similar, that you are immobilized and you are, you know, laying down and you're seeing, you know, a halfway sinister, you know, entity leaning over you. Of course, you know, the variety of UFO experiences, you know, that I've heard, you know, some of them seem to happen to people who are wide awake or, you know, are not in bed, you know, seem to be something different, but they certainly blur. You know, I find, you know, overlaps from these different experiences, pretty compelling. What do you think?
I've always thought, I grew up in definitely a haunted home, and I went through poltergeist, the apparitions. I had a woman go through me, and I went through extreme, many, many experiences, and throughout my whole life, loads of random experiences. It's just unbelievable. But I've also been through the UFO abductions, and they are different but related. See, what I think is it prepares you for the abductions, because when I was a child, I would astral project into lower realms. They were trying to pull me in with the silver cord and all this and that, and I'd see the like witch lady over me and then go through me, and I'd feel electric current. That was preparing me, because my first remembered abduction, that it was distinct from that. See, to me, they're not the same. They're definitely, I think it prepares you, because you're going into other dimensions and portals. So it's like, it's like you would describe before, the a kaleidoscope, like the room would swirl around and all the shapes and geometric shapes. It's like you were swirling into this like other world, like you were literally in a gateway. So I always was trying to figure out my whole life, because I started linking them together, because my whole life I keep going through random, really random psychic experiences and synchronistic, like a lot of synchronism in my life, a lot of like things that don't make sense until you put the pieces together. Like you got to sort, it's like a puzzle. And I've come to the conclusion that they are related, because I even had like a paranormal, I remember I was in Black Forest in Germany once, and I got lost there. And I was in the middle of the woods there with, I met some people. We finally found our way back to the hostel. So we got back into the hostel, and I realized that my purse was missing, and that was like everything in there, you know, my all my traveler's checks and all this and that. So it was, by now it was like 1 a.m, so I had to go back by myself. So because they didn't want it, they didn't really know me. I just met them. So they were like, well, we'll wait in the morning. So I says, no, I'm leaving. So I went because I needed my purse. So I'm walking through in the dark, following the light in the sky. Okay, it's really bizarre. So I'm walking, and I get lost easily. Even though I've been around the world, I get lost easily. I don't know how I've been where I've been. But so I was walking and following light, and there on the ground was a cross with my purse on it. It, like, by the time I was there, it may be like 1:30, 2 in the morning. And then I lost a day. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is there's definitely some paranormal. It has to be, because the UFO abductions, you're going into other dimensions, planetary places. So you have to be able to do that, I think. I don't know. It's just...
I know it's kind of hard, isn't it? Because if you talk with Dr. David Jacobs, again, I bring him up because he's all about the abduction, and he will tell you that every bit of these things, it's all about abduction, every bit of everything that everybody said. And then you'll have other people say, no, there's I guess, what are the incubus and all that kind of stuff? And people will say, no, it's demonic and this and that. And so,
oh,
you know, maybe there's a little, yeah, right.
Because
so maybe
I
there's a little bit
that.
Of everything, right? Diana, could there possibly be a little bit of everything there?
It's so true, because like I have seen in my lifetime what I've gone through. It's like people, like, it's hard to even explain to people. And I think the grays, like in the case you were talking about, why they're instilling fear. This is what my theory is. The gray race is the only race I'm familiar with, because that was the one that abducted me on, you know, the, I remember one was for hybrid purposes and the other was
Diana, not to be rude, but we got about 30 seconds, so.
Okay, well, that's all okay. I was going to say was about the emotions. I think they're experimenting to see, like, how to see fear in you, because they don't have emotions. So that's what I was sort of leaning towards, like maybe, because the sleep paralysis I've never been through. When I went through the alien abduction, I got the paralyzed, but that definitely wasn't described like that. I actually remember seeing the gray alien. So I don't know about sleep paralysis. I actually saw them, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking it has to do with emotions. They're trying to see. Watching to see the fear in you, because they don't have emotions. That's all. That was my point, I guess. But
excellent.
Thank you,
Diana, out of Hawaii. Nice place to be, ETs and all. Well, Ronnie, I, who knows? Maybe there must be a nightmare too to figure out some more. So, hey, we're gonna be back here in just a few minutes. We're gonna pay a couple bills here, and then we're going to find out more about maybe his thoughts on the ET thing here with Rodney Asher, the director of The Nightmare, and many other ones too. But we're taking your phone calls now to see what you think about sleep paralysis or what question you might have with Rodney. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. And George Norrie will be back tomorrow night. He's going to be talking with Joel Wallach and also Peter Bedard. They're talking about healing pain and natural healing and diet without using modern medicine. And also, Peter will be talking about the journey that led him to tap into the power of the mind and the soul to control our perception of pain. So those are going to be some great conversations tomorrow night. But tonight, we are taking your phone calls so that you can ask Rodney Asher, the director of The Nightmare, about sleep paralysis and what either happened during the show or the making of it, or what his thoughts are, and he's experienced it too. So get on those phones and give us a call. We're here, Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for listening. It's Coast to Coast AM. This is Connie Willis, and we are talking with Rodney Asher, the director of The Nightmare, among other films, and we're talking about sleep paralysis. And what we're doing right now is we're taking your phone calls. One of the emails I got, Rodney, was somebody saying that they've been going through something like this, and it's extremely terrifying, of course. One of the things they asked is they wondered if they were having a seizure or something in their sleep, and they say they have sleep apnea and have wondered if the CO2 levels are building up in her blood, and then this happens so that she will wake up. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it sounds like we're getting into, you know, medical questions, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, pretend to be much of an expert in that. Certainly she should, you know, see a sleep doctor, because, you know, sleep apnea can be a really dangerous, you know, can be a really dangerous condition. You know, that said, certainly sleep paralysis and sleep apnea seem to be related. You know, one of the people in our films, Chris, you know, his doctor said that he didn't have sleep apnea, but he certainly describes, you know, an unusual and frightening connection between sleep paralysis and, you know, breathing while he's sleeping. That, you know, the strange thing is, you know, I've heard it both ways. People who say that they can snap out of sleep paralysis, you know, by regulating their breathing. But in his case, he says, you know, he had to stop thinking about his breathing and, you know, concentrate on wiggling his toe or something to snap out of it. You know, so certainly if, you know, if she's concerned about sleep apnea and breathing while sleeping, you know, I don't have much better advice than, you know, talk to a doctor.
That's great advice right there. Let's go out to Minnesota, wild card line number one. John, Happy New Year to you, and welcome to the show. Introduce you to Rodney.
Happy New Year, Connie and Rodney.
Thank you.
My question is, did Rodney research this on any astral-related or OB-related forums? And the reason that I ask this is because I have been experiencing sleep paralysis all my life. It is definitely the most terrifying thing you can ever have. But after a severe bout with it in 2011, I actually went to astral-related forum and found some different things about it, and I actually learned how to not only induce it with a pre-nap, but also control it. Where, Connie, earlier you were saying that you don't have any control. You do, actually. During sleep paralysis, you're finding yourself either beginning or returning from a shift in consciousness. And because of that, you're in a moment of thought equals action. So if you go to your happy place, wherever you're in your mind, your happy place would be, that intent will actually put you there. Because I've experienced quite a few OBEs from sleep paralysis, but only after I allowed it to progress and do what it was going to do. My sleep paralysis normally involves first hearing sounds and being touched on my legs and feeling like my legs are actually rising. And I've actually felt being lifted all the way to my ceiling, being spun through my ceiling. There's some pretty incredible things that you can feel. So yes, I understand, definitely terrifying, but like I said, it can be controlled.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that. And yeah, I have come across similar stories both on forums, and there was a book to that effect. And there are actually two people in the film that I talked to who describe, you know, out-of-body experiences that happen in the course of their sleep paralysis. I mean, I remember actually seeing a discussion that I thought was pretty fascinating, you know, that really kind of, you know, pointed, you know, expressed to me, you know, how many points of view there are about this topic, where, you know, there was one person who said, you know, if you allow them in, the things that you see in sleep paralysis could you know, help you, you know, in an astral projection, you know, it's sort of a guide to lucid dreaming. But then there were other folks who are coming from, you know, a a much more conservative religious point of view, you know, who said, you know, no, it's incredibly dangerous to invite those things into your life. And, you know, gosh, again, you know, Poltergeist seems to come to my mind, Connie, that, you know, when the characters are debating whether they should go into the light or run away
right.
from it.
Right.
But, yeah, no, absolutely. I've seen a connection between sleep paralysis and astral projection. And, you know, earlier I was talking about, you know, a sleep paralysis experience I had in the course of making the film. And since I recognized it as sleep paralysis and I wanted to you know, pay attention to what was happening so that I could, you know, so that I could learn from it, you know, there was no fear component. You know, I was completely calm and I just kind of laid back and enjoyed the light show.
And you know, that's a good way to put it. To me, it's like astral projection and out-of-body experiences. It's kind of a choice. And you know, you're like, well, I want to do this kind of thing. Or, I don't know, maybe some people can slip right into that. I don't feel like the sleep paralysis is a choice. There's so much fear involved. And I do understand what you're saying, John, because they seem so very much related. And I'm not saying they are or they are not. We definitely don't know all the answers with this, but I do think there's some differences where I think there might, some of these sleep paralysis instances are forced upon. I don't believe they're our individual choice. And I think if they're forced upon from something else, that's where the fear is. That's where you're stuck. It's not you that initiated it. I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, just throwing it out, thinking, you know, as you're talking about what you brought up, and maybe that's some of the differences. I don't know, but definitely worthy to look into, because I was trying as well to learn how to do the astral projection and the out-of-body experiences. And that's, you know, that all seems like, oh, fun. This is going to be great. I'm going to travel around. but sleep paralysis is, there's something around me and it's not letting me move. And I am trying to run all my, every cell in my soul, if they're cells and souls, every part of me wants to run, except my body is not allowing me to. You know, my intuition is saying, get out, you know, get out of here. And you just can't go, you know, you cannot exit stage right or left at all, you know. So that would be my words back to you there, John.
Well, thank you for your answer.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a, you know, is or not, but I absolutely know what you're talking about. And so, and that's really cool that you've got to go through all of those things. So that's very interesting. So thank you for your call. Do you have any more questions for Rodney?
Nope, that's about it, other than if people did learn to passively observe it and allow it to occur, they'd notice that it's one of the most incredible things they'll ever do. And like I said, a lot of it comes down to being fear tests. That who's initiating those fear tests? Good question. I don't think we'll ever know, because that's a objective question, and there's nothing objective about the astral at this moment in time.
So what would you say, John, if somebody's going through a sleep paralysis and where they're fearful, what would you say? Just relax and go with it?
Yep, relax and go through with it. If you see somebody over in the corner, offer them, since thought equals action, offer them a cookie. I mean, something so simple. If you have control of it, you'll notice that, number one, they'll either disappear or they'll actually reach over and take the cookie from you.
Ah.
And you made a new friend.
So. It might be scary, too. Get away from me. Get me back.
But you can always end it, though. That's,
right.
That's the thing.
I got
you. Can always just turn it off. You wiggle your toes, whatever you want to do, and you're out of it. You can awake. And when you awake, you're back to normal again, and everything's okay again.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your phone call.
Thanks,
we appreciate that. Thank you. Have a happy new year. Let's go out west of the Rockies. In Santa Barbara, Sean, how are you today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Okay, I'll talk slow because I talk fast to your screener. All right, I have to differ with the other caller. Nonsense about controlling. I mean, I used to be an escape artist when I was younger, like Harry Houdini. I know about control. Okay, watching Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid on Blu-ray. All right. So I'm sitting in my chair. Like I've seen right now, the lights off, I could see everything in my room. I could see my paintings, my picture, my big phone with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, looking at the phone. Okay, on the floor is one young guy, about 18, 19, maybe I watch Coraline too often, the button eyes. Then there's a 18-year-old girl taking her hand and flicking her fingers right in my face, just flicking it like that, button eyes, just like Coraline, just like the mom and dad on Coraline. Okay, then there's another button eye one going in and out of my bathroom. I'm looking at the phone. I'm left-handed, like I'm holding the phone now. I am trying my best to press 911. I can't wiggle my toes, nonsense. I mean, it's like bringing Kubrick. It's like Alex in Clockwork Orange with his eyes open looking at the screen. I felt that's what you feel like, folks. Alex in Clockwork Orange looking at the friggin' screen like, what are you going to do? You know, your eyes are open. They have control. All of a sudden, bing, I'm awake, but I've been sitting in the chair. It's like I have consciousness. Boom, I press 911. Lady answers. I hang up. She calls back. I had explained everything I explained to you, and she believed me. There you have it.
Wow. Well, she probably had gone through something similar herself. You know, again, I'm always amazed at you know, how many people, you know, actually have gone through this stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if anybody, you were talking about Kubrick. Mm-hmm. That's it, folks. It's remember when his eyes are open, Alex?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Okay, that is what you feel like. You feel like they got your eyes open, and they got control, and there's not anything you can do about it.
And who do you think they are?
I think it's just another dimension, unless mm-hmm. it's my unconscious. Watch Coraline too often. But it happened before, a couple weeks before. Then this is sitting in the chair. And I had, like, they just come in when they want to come in. And then I have it in the bedroom, like an anteater type of looking creature with a fuzzy tail walking around my bed. There again, seeing the bedroom, seeing everything. The thing put its paw on my arm. I had marks, and it felt like it burnt. And then you could see it. So it's like you're in another dimension, like you're experiencing this consciousness with whatever realm it is. I don't know. Or unless it's the unconscious, you know, the mind just doing whatever it does. I don't
and
know.
That's great to, you know, that's why we all get to talk about this and enjoy it, because we all have experienced something like this, or not all of us, but the ones that have, this is great for us to talk about. Sean, thank you very much for calling in. Happy New Year to you. And he's calling out of Santa Barbara. So, hey, folks, I mean, it can happen in the best of the best places and you know, and in the scariest of the scariest places. So, interesting subject. It was incredible. Rodney Asher, before that, Forrest Borey. Of course, talking. He's one of the people in the movie The Nightmare. Rodney, director of it. I want to thank you, Rodney, very much for your time and sharing your experiences with us and your work. Where can we find out more about you, Rodney?
Well, you know, I've got a website, rodneyasher.com, where there's sort of links to the films and things. And, you know, I'm on Twitter, where, you know, I announce, you know, if there's anything going to be screening or anything interesting happening, which is Rodney_Asher, you know, at Twitter. There's a C in Asher.
Right. And if there's, is there anything else you'd like to extend to us to say about sleep paralysis or even what you've got coming up next as a film?
Well, nothing I'm ready to announce, but always interested in, you know, in these sorts of stories. And, you know, you can send stuff to me, you know, from there's a link on my webpage.
Yes, please, out there, send him your stories, because I would love to see a second one. And I think, you know, you're the one that's got to do that. So, but anything else to say about sleep paralysis?
Well, just thanks for having me on Coast to Coast. It's a real kick for me. You know, I've listened to the show for so long. So to come across and make it to the other side of the speaker is pretty amazing.
Wow, and I thank you very much. I feel honored as too. I love to talk about the films, and I love the fact that someone will bring them to life and be very honest with it and not feel that they have to make things up. So thank you very much for that. So again, thank you, Rodney Asher, and also Forrest Borey. It was kind of them to give us their time and their thoughts. And I want to thank you guys, listeners out there, for tuning in for tonight's show. And I appreciate that you do that and you enjoy the show. And, hey, please, if you enjoyed it, let us know here at Coast to Coast AM. It's always nice to hear from you, especially in a positive way. So I'd like to say from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, many thanks going out to Julie Talbot, Bill May, Kelly Carls, Kirk Wesley, Tim Banal, Lex Lonehood, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Dan Galanti, John Michael Clark, thank you very much too, Tommy Danheiser, Sean Latasseur, Nathan Staten, thank you very much there, Nathan, for running the board and making everything work out for me tonight, Greg Bishop, G. Lee, also answering the phones for us tonight, Lisa Lyons, of course, as always, and George Knapp, and, of course, George Norrie. So until we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis. Happy New Year.